Good morning, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Friday, May 22nd. Governor Gretchen Whitmer acted lawfully when she declared consecutive COVID-19 emergencies over the objections of Republicans in the legislature. That decision came yesterday from the Michigan Court of Claims. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The legislature's Republican leaders took the governor to court because they said she cannot continue to declare COVID-19-related emergencies and use the power that goes with that, not without the legislature's approval every 28 days. Court of Claims Judge Cynthia Stevens agreed with the GOP lawmakers on some points, but in the end, the Democratic governor prevailed. The judge said the governor has the authority to continue to declare emergencies for as long as the emergency exists. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey said in a statement that he's disappointed in the result, and Republicans will appeal the decision. I'm Rick Pluta.
President Donald Trump visited the Rawsonville Ford plant near Ypsilanti yesterday. The plant is currently making ventilators to address a shortage during the coronavirus crisis. Abigail Sinsky has more on the politics of the president's visit.
President Trump's stop at the Rawsonville plant was one of a series he's made to swing states since his official travel resumed. He's also been to manufacturers in Arizona and Pennsylvania. Trump praised Ford for their role making ventilators and returning to work, but he challenged governors with stay-at-home orders still in place without naming names.
I think there's a lot of pressure put on certain governors that should be further along. They should be further along than they are, and they should not be doing what they're doing. So we'll see what happens.
Before speaking in Ypsilanti, Trump took part in a Q&A with black leaders from Detroit, including John James, the presumptive Republican challenger to Michigan Senator Gary Peters. In Lansing, I'm Abigail Sensky.
Now that flood levels have crested in Midland, residents and state officials are beginning to ask who is to blame. The historic floods were caused in part by a breach of the Edenville Dam. The dam had long been cited for not complying with federal regulations to handle flood capacity that led to the revocation of the dam's federal license in 2018. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says the state will consider legal action against the dam's owner, Boyce Hydro.
Well, I think we're all trying to understand all of the different proceedings that had taken place up until this point. The initial readout is that this was a known problem for a while, and that's why it's important that we do our due diligence and then we take our action. That's merited.
The Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy says it was in continuing conversations about that deficiency before the breach. Boyce Hydro did not return our request for comment. Midland County officials say a dwindling number of people have been staying at its flood evacuation centers. This week's flood forced thousands to leave their homes. But on Wednesday night, only 61 people were staying at the county's six shelters. John Searles is in charge of the county's shelters.
What we're doing right now is trying to figure out whether we need to keep the current shelters open or whether the need is past enough where we can close them down.
Searles says there may be an influx of people heading back to shelters after they learn that the flood has left their homes uninhabitable. Mid-Michigan residents are beginning to take stock of damage from the historic floods that hit the region earlier this week. We have more from WCMU's Ben Thorpe.
The small village of Sanford has just over 800 residents. It lies just upstream from Midland along the Tittabawassee River. When the Edenville Dam breached on Tuesday, people were ordered to evacuate. Now some residents and business owners are returning for the first time to survey the damage.
I think I got the bar.
Connie Mettner owns CJ's Hairstyling. She says she's been here for 34 years.
Yeah, this is a hunk of my life that I built from scratch, and as a grown-up would say, we're going to get through this. But right now, I just want to sit down and cry all the time.
She says her building isn't salvageable.
This whole town got devastated. It isn't just me. Every one of them, families, businesses, fellow business owners, we all look alike when you walk in the door. We're all the same. It's all mud, destruction. Nobody can dream this up other than movie theaters.
Mettner walks by her coffee pots. Somehow, they managed not to crack. She says she's talked it over with her husband, and she wants to try and bring the salon back.
We're going to have it taken apart, and it'll be a vacant lot. Then I'm going to try to put another business right back on it, hairstyling.
down the street from Mettner, the owners of Sanford Pizza are also taking stock of what's left of their building. Roger and Pam Riggi are sorting through muddy remains.
For the last 7 years, this has been my life, and now it's blown right out the back of this building. Everything we own.
Riggi says he doesn't really know what he'll do next. As the Riggies are talking, one of their friends comes over holding a photo of Pam's father, which used to hang over the cash register.
Oh my God. She got her dad's picture back.
Her dad died a few years ago, and that picture was up in the restaurant.
It's my dad. This is sad. Her whole freaking life is gone.
The Riggies are sad for only a moment before launching into a story about the exploits of Jerry Martin, Pam's father. At 73, Pam explains, he went skydiving.
He was the coolest dude.
Mr. Martin.
Cowboy.
He was.
Further down the road, Tan Seisky is taking stock of her house.
The water was 3 feet on the second floor, so there's not a lot salvageable.
Seisky is a renter and says her insurance agency has already told her policy doesn't cover floods.
I don't know. We had a couple pastors stop by earlier today and they said, what can we do to help? And I said, find out what we can do as homeowners and renters to get help if insurance doesn't cover anything through, you know, state and federal, you know, agencies, if anything. Because right now we're so busy trying to salvage everything and get everything out that we don't have time to get on our phones and find out how we can get any help.
Yeah. President Trump has approved Governor Whitmer's request for FEMA aid. Many Sanford residents voiced their hope that some of that aid will come to them. In the meantime, though, they'll be doing what they can to clean up. I'm Ben Thorpe, WCMU News.
Such a tragic situation throughout so much of mid-Michigan. WCMU will be staying on this story in the weeks, the months, and the years ahead as mid-Michigan rebuilds from these devastating floods. Elsewhere around the region, a Chippewa County man is facing 125 charges after the Department of Natural Resources says he illegally killed wolves and bald eagles. 56-year-old Kurt Johnston Duncan has pleaded not guilty to the charges. Detective Lieutenant Reed Ruski is with the Special Investigations Unit of the DNR. He says wolves are on the federal endangered species list and bald eagles are federally protected.
So basically what that means is they cannot be harvested you can't kill one for any reason other than if your life or the life of another human being is in danger.
Detectives say Duncan stated he was catching the animals and killing them because, quote, it's what he likes to do. He pleaded not guilty to all the charges. In total, he faces more than $30,000 in fines. And that is your WCMU Morning News Roundup for this Friday, the 22nd day of May 2020. I'm Mike Horris. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday.